And when the blood supplying that matter lacks red cells, the mind itself will soon enough collapse. Marguerite must have been concerned, because Fuchs ordered me to take a medical checkup, and I was certain he wouldn't have thought of that without her prodding him.
"Your red cell count is sinking fast," she said unhappily. "You're going to need another transfusion right away."
"Not yet," I said, trying to sound brave. "Give him a chance to recover from the last one."
"Don't you think—"
"I don't want to kill him," I snapped, trying to sound as coldly callous as the captain himself. "I need him alive." Marguerite shook her head but said nothing. During my watches on the bridge, I tapped into the comm console's translation program and eavesdropped on the crew and their various workstations. Plenty of griping about the heat. Several men reported to the sick bay complaining of dizziness or exhaustion. The women seemed to take the growing heat better than the men, or perhaps they were merely more stoical. It was getting hot. I wondered if Fuchs still was bugging the ship, or if he felt that his punishment of Bahadur had cowed the rest of the crew sufficiently to eliminate the possibility of mutiny. He seemed moody, abstracted, his mind focused on other things rather than the immediate problems of steering this submersible dirigible toward its $10 billion destination. It appeared to me that Fuchs was concentrating his attention on something in the future, or perhaps something from his past, and he was chewing those damned pills of his constantly. Lucifer ran well enough. Except for the mounting heat inside the ship, all systems were performing within expected limits. The crew worked fairly smoothly together, despite their grumbling. After all, they knew that their lives depended on their doing things right. Literally. I began to study the radar imagery as we groped along the planet's nightside. There was little else for me to do except log incoming messages from TRUAX that were never answered or even acknowledged. The volcanic eruption had subsided, they told us. The Aphrodite region was seismically quiet once more, like the rest of the planet. I felt decidedly relieved at that. We were creeping pretty much along the equator, making slow headway in the massively turgid atmosphere by using our engines to force us through the soup. There was no wind to speak of, just a slow, steady current flowing outward from the subsolar region, barely 5 kilometers per hour. Our engines easily compensated for that. The elegance of the engines pleased me in a cerebrally aesthetic way. We were using the heat of the planet's own atmosphere to drive the turbines that ran the big paddle-bladed propellers that pushed us through the thick, hot air. But each meter of altitude we lost meant the air was thicker and hotter. Heat rejection was becoming a problem. The crew nursed our heat exchangers along, mumbling worriedly over them more and more. Fuchs paid almost no attention to their fears. His thoughts were obviously elsewhere. I kept searching the radar scans, looking for signs of wreckage down on the surface. I found 3 strong glints, but they were all far too small to be phosphorus. Only one of them matched the known landing sites of earlier spacecraft probes, though. I wondered what the other 2 were, and found myself wishing we had enough daylight to use the telescopes. I became fascinated with that strange, stark, utterly hostile landscape drifting below us. Even off-duty, I made my way to the observation center up in the ship's prow to stare for hours on end at the radar imagery unfolding before my eyes. I began to understand Fuchs's fascination with this alien scenery, glowing red-hot in the darkness of night. It really was like looking down at the surface of hell, a barren, blasted, wretched expanse of total devastation, without a drop of water or a blade of grass, without hope or pity, or help for pain.
"It's incredible, isn't it?"
I nearly hopped out of my skin. I'd been staring so intently at the radar images and the dull, stygian, sullen glow coming through the observation ports that I hadn't heard Marguerite come up behind me. She didn't notice how startled I was. All her attention was on the views through the ports. The ruddy light from the surface made her face seem mysterious, exotic.
"It's terrifying and fascinating. Both at the same time," she said in a near whisper. "Horrible and beautiful in its own deadly way."
I said, "More horrible than beautiful."
"What's that?"
She pointed to the screen that displayed the radar imagery. It showed a set of circular fractures, as if something gigantic had smashed the rocky surface like an enormous hammer.
"That's called a corona," I said.
"An asteroid hit there. A big one. And look here, see these pancake features? Volcanoes set off by the heat when the asteroid struck.
As if it weren't hot enough down there already, Marguerite murmured.
I wonder how old that corona is, I asked myself more than her. I mean, we don't know very much about how fast erosion works down on the surface. Did that asteroid hit recently, or was the impact 100 million years ago?
There's a lot to learn, isn't there? She said.
Not on this trip. We won't be able to do much science. We're here for the money this time around. Marguerite gave me a strange look.
Do you expect to come back?
I almost shuddered, but I heard my mouth blabbing, Maybe. There really is a lot to learn. Greenbaum believes the whole surface of the planet is going to boil over sooner or later. Maybe I can use some of the prize money to endow... And then I stopped short, realizing that it was going to be Fuchs who got the prize money, not me. Marguerite took a step closer to me, close enough to touch my shoulder with her hand.
Van, you have to start thinking about how much of... I mean, what condition your brother's body will be in.
Condition?
There might not be much left to recover, she said, very gently.
There's no oxygen down there to decompose his body, I mused aloud. No bacteria or other scavengers.
He was in the ship's escape pod, wasn't he? Sealed in?
Yes, that's the last word he sent out.
Then he was in an oxygen atmosphere when he went down.
But still, I wanted to think that Alex's body would be preserved somehow, waiting for me to carry it back home. Marguerite had no such illusions.
There's the heat, she said, and the pressure. Under those conditions, even carbon dioxide becomes corrosive.
I hadn't considered that before. You think he'd be totally decomposed?
Temperatures that high destroy the chemical bonds that hold proteins together, she said.
But he'd be in a spacesuit, I speculated. In the escape pod. If he had time enough, he knew the ship was going down.
Even so, Marguerite said.
Do you think there might not be anything? Nothing at all?
It's a possibility. As you said, we simply don't know enough about the conditions on the surface, how they affect protein-based tissues.
If there had been a chair or even a stool in the observation port, I would have slumped onto it. My legs felt rubbery, my insides a jumble. Nothing at all, I muttered. Marguerite fell silent. I gazed out onto that hellish landscape, then turned back to her. To come all this way and find... nothing.
There'd be artifacts, of course, she said. Parts of the ship. Wreckage. I mean, you could certainly prove that you'd reached his ship, what remains of it.
You mean Fuchs could prove it?
Either way.
I almost wanted to laugh. I can just see my father refusing to pay Fuchs because he failed to bring back my brother's remains.
You don't think he'd do that, do you?
Don't I? It would be the final joke in this whole ridiculous farce.
It's not really funny, is it?
She said. But the more I thought about it, the more poetically absurd it all seemed. Fuchs would tear my father's head off.
I don't think so, Marguerite countered.
Oh, no? Him with his violent temper?
He doesn't have a violent temper, she said.
The hell he doesn't.
He uses violence very deliberately. It's part of his way for getting what he wants. He's perfectly cool about it. Ice cold, in fact.
I didn't believe a word of it. That's crazy, I said.
No, it's the truth.
I stared at her for several long moments, watching the play of Venus's glowering heat playing across the planes of her cheeks, the curve of her jaw, striking sparks in her jet-black eyes. All right, I said. I'm not going to argue with you about it. You know him better than I do.
Yes, Marguerite replied. I do.
I took a deep breath and turned away from her. Marguerite seemed willing to call an armistice as well.
Are those cliffs?
She asked, pointing to the screen that displayed the forward-looking radar imagery. It took me an effort to shift mental gears. I studied the screen for a few moments, gathering my wits. Yes, I said, finally recognizing what the radar was showing. Those cliffs mark the edge of Aphrodite Terra. That's where the phosphorus went down, most likely. Contact. I slept like a dead man, thankfully without dreams. But when I awoke, I felt just as tired as I had when I'd crawled into my bunk.